Good morning, happy Tuesday. Personal records, finish lines, buckles, they're not sold at the corner store. As you've heard me say it before, if you want more, then do more. Giving more means getting more. So don't believe the lie that it's draining. Sometimes I'm on repeat to make sure that you really hear what I'm saying. Because at the beginning of the day, I really just want to get you out that front door. Did you miss me? Because I missed you more. Remember, if you want more, then do more. Love y'all. Happy Tuesday. Track work done. Guess what Tuesday is? The best day to make better than yesterday.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the On the Runs podcast for episode 105, the last episode of our Boston Week series, and we're doing things a little bit differently tonight. Let me first introduce the four people in the studio. First, I have six-star Erica, my amazing co-host. Then I have, from Ohio, Jared Ewing from episode 82. We have Allie G, who you just met a few weeks ago during Boston Weeks, and we have Maurice, the running marathon panda. What's up, guys? How's everyone doing? Erica, this is fun and different. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to have four of my favorite people here in one space at the same time. I'm so pumped to see you guys. How are you?
Well, I have to update you real quick. That was I was actually on episode 88, not 82.
Oh, see, that's why I let him tell the numbers, because I will never remember. So
I don't know if you caught it, but the other day it was episode 102 and I said 103 and I just said, we're keeping it that way. And the next week we went 102. I knew it was in the 80s. I was thinking you were the second episode of the new year. That's why 82 clicked in my head. 88 for Woo! Jared, just like David Pastrnak for all our Boston friends. Jared, thanks for coming. Allie G, how you been?
I've been good. I missed you guys. Got to see Erica before the marathon. Got to see you on course, Eric. So, you know, I'm doing well. It was good.
That's awesome. I was so bummed. I had the worst FOMO on that Saturday. I had a great day with my boys, but I missed you. I missed everyone. Like Jared, I saw you with Candace, and then I missed you, Maurice. And not only that, like, I didn't get to see any of your photos around Boston. But Maurice, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, everybody. It was so exciting to see you on the course, both of you. So I hope we get to touch on that a couple of times. And I feel really special that I was invited to this special episode. So thank you. And high fives and positive vibes from Rhode Island.
Absolutely. Thank you, so guys. Good.
We got so much of the Northeast covered here, from Ohio, New Jersey, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and we're talking about Boston. So this is going to be a lot of fun. This is our last episode for the Boston Week series. We had four amazing women on. Allie, you were one of them. I had to bring a couple guys in for this and hear about the experience. We had a great time. So first, let's start with you, Jared, since you were the first one to hop on Riverside with me and we were catching up a little bit. You're back in Ohio. You ran a 10K today. Just 1 week, not even 1 week after the Boston Marathon. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What's new and what's going on?
Yeah, so I'm feeling good. It took about 4 or 5 days to kind of fully recruit, but I'm a true believer in actively moving every day after and just continuing to get after it. You know, the next marathon is always around the corner. So, you know, you got to keep on going. But I'm doing well. You know, everything went well getting back here. I traveled over to New Hampshire for a day. And then I took the rest of the trip down to Boston. I was there on Friday. So I was there in Boston from Friday to Tuesday. But yeah, I drove over. Mm. So it was a long trip, long, rainy trip, driving over there. And it was a little bit better on the way home. But because it was later getting out, I stopped in Syracuse for the day. So that was kind of my way. But yeah, everything's good.
So glad to hear it. And if I'm not mistaken, unless you have one extra marathon in between, I get to see you at the Flying Pig Marathon in 2 weeks. So I'm super, super pumped about that. Get another Jared sighting soon.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that too. I had no idea you were going to be there. And so this is my first time doing Flying Pig. My goal has always been to to do all the big marathons in Ohio. So, you know, just being a part of the 50 States Club and the Marathon Maniacs, people always ask, you know, what's the best marathons in Ohio? And I always try to rep my city the right way. And so I'm going to run all these major ones, not all this year. I've did a couple of them already, but just want to be able to lay out all the marathons across the board for people. So when they come into town, they have one that fits them.
Love it. I absolutely love it. So I'm glad I get to experience it with you. And then maybe I can chime in on at least one Ohio race. Exactly. So that's at least the first.
One thing I want to do, we'll keep this about Boston and about your whole entire weekend experience, but everyone kind of made it to Boston a little differently. I know, Al, you qualified in Martha's Vineyard. Maurice, you were running for the Heron Project.
Yes.
Jared, who are you running for? How do you get into the Boston Marathon? Tell us, give us those details.
Okay. So I qualified as an adaptive athlete this year. So last year I got in through a charity bib. It was last minute. This year I had some time and I'm disabled. So I finally, I got over being lazy. You know, I always say I'm the hardest working lazy person, but I turned in all my medical paperwork and I saw that the qualification times were kind of in my favor. And so I was able to qualify as an adaptive athlete. And so, that's how I got in. And I was able, as an adaptive athlete, I'm able to bring a support runner along with me. So I brought my friend Jordan. She's from the New Hampshire area. She's the one that kind of got me into the charity bib the year before. So I returned the favor and brought her with me this time. So that too was tagging along with me for that run.
That's amazing. No, in no respect would I ever call you lazy, by the way. Never.
Right.
This guy's running marathons almost every other weekend. You were in Tokyo one day, then the next day you're in Virginia Beach. Now you're in Boston and going to Pig's Ear or Flying Pig. No, you are not lazy by any means. Just curious, what is the qualifying time for an adaptive athlete at your age?
It's 6 hours. It's very gracious. It's 6 hours for Boston. For Chicago, it's 4 hours. So I ran last year. What I used was my Missoula, Montana marathon. I had run a 3:41 at the time. So I was able to use that. And I kind of knew having that huge buffer that I had a good chance of getting into Boston with that time. So I definitely used that. And they got me into Chicago too. So this year I'll be running Chicago again.
Congratulations.
Yeah, as an adaptive athlete. Yeah.
All right. So Maurice, I think Eric already dropped it that you were running for the Heron Project. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So first off, congrats to Jared and Allie for qualifying. That's a long-term goal of mine. 3:41 is actually my current PR. I know in the marathon world, you know, the time does matter. So 3:41 is my current marathon PR. I need a 3:20 to become a Boston qualified runner. This is my sixth Boston completion, seven if you count the virtual one that was canceled and I did for COVID. Very fortunate to have run with the charity bib before. This is my first year running with the Heron Project. I've grown and matured as a charity runner. It's a privilege. I have applied to be with the Heron Project several years back and did not get in. So to get selected this year meant the world to me. And for those that don't know, the Heron Project promotes recovery, awareness, addiction awareness, prevention, and just overall sobriety and wellness. They're so vocal and passionate in that space and in that community, just highlighting and showcasing folks that are living a great life due to recovery. And then also families that are affected from the disease of addiction, people that have lost their lives, and so forth. So to be with a great group of people that share that passion, I was just blown away with gratitude to get selected. It tied right in. I filled out a special application this year and was also selected to be featured in the Bank of America photo campaign and got interviewed by the Boston Globe. So it just kind of snowballed into this really cool thing. And I'm still overflowing with gratitude to be completing the Boston Marathon. Before I take up too much time, the finish line of the Boston Marathon is right on the same street where I used to hang out when I was lost in addiction, drinking, smoking, chasing drugs, chasing all of the dark corners of addiction. So to be a Boston Marathon finisher for a recovery charity as great as the Heron Project is just a gift and a privilege. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good for you, Maurice. We're so proud of you for tackling that. You are absolutely amazing. Great. And it was so cool to see you in a big poster on the side of buildings. I was just like, hey, I know him and I'm so proud of him.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
How did you find out you're going to be the one featured all over Boston in those posters and pictures throughout the city?
So that's a cool question. So I completed the application for the Bank of America photo campaign with just the explanation that they wanted to highlight some non-elite runners running for charities. Filled out the application. I was selected. They asked if I would be open to sharing my story and attending a professional photo shoot. They even sent us PDFs on what to wear and what not to wear. You had to wear all unbranded clothing unless it was Adidas. No former Boston clothing was allowed. So you couldn't wear like a Boston Marathon finisher's jacket from 3 years ago. So very, very detailed. I showed up to, guess where? The Blue Hills Reservation is where the photo shoot was. And when I got there, I knew how legit this was going to be. There was a wardrobe trailer, a stylist trailer. They had food, they had cameras, they had video cameras. It was just amazing. So I made the comment, Eric, it's funny that you asked, because I made the comment as they were photographing us and taking videos. And they had done this in the Charles River area the weekend before. So we were the second group of runners. And I made the comment like, oh, I hope we make the cut. And the guy, one of the producers, said, this is the cut. Like, everybody here, everybody here is going to be featured. He's like, you're going to be on subway platforms. You're going to be on buildings. And I'm thinking to myself, it's not going to be that big. Like, you know, and then the following, like the few weeks before the marathon, I had friends texting me like, Maurice, like, I can't believe it. I'm on my commute to work and you're all over the subway. So it wasn't just me. There was over 26 or 36 other runners running from, you know, to end AIDS, to end hunger. There was a gentleman who lost his legs fighting for this country. So I just always like to tip my hat to other folks that are doing amazing things. And it was really cool to be able to share my story, but there's a lot of cool stories out there. And for example, like the Bank of America building in downtown Boston had three of us featured, and I was one of them. So it was just an amazing opportunity.
Very cool.
It was a great photo too.
Thank you.
It's an awesome photo.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I was like, thought it was so cool to have you out there all over Boston, man, plastered everywhere. That was awesome. And then the fact that Erica got a picture with one.
I had to.
Do you know how long those will stay up? Like, maybe I drive to Boston tomorrow just to get a picture of me and you on the Bank of America wall or something.
You should. So if anybody that follows along with me closely knows I held a contest, so you still have time to enter the contest. Eric has entered. Anybody that took a picture my picture is entered into the contest. And I've asked about how long they're going to stay up and what they're going to do with the pictures after, and I'm waiting to hear back. I'm thinking at least another week or so, I hope.
Are they going to give you a copy or something?
I hope so. I hope so. I got a copy of the Boston Globe interview. So I'm really, really grateful. If you can't tell, anybody that knows me knows I like to tell my story. I'm that guy that's like, hey, guess what? My name's Mo. Guess what I do? So to be able to get the opportunity to do so on such a grand scale is just amazing.
So proud that's of you, awesome. Man.
Thank you, awesome. Erica.
And sitting it down on the bottom corner of my screen, quiet and patient this entire time, is Allie G, who qualified for the Boston Marathon when you went to your sister, do you think I should run a marathon? Yeah, I'm going to run a marathon. And you signed up for Martha's Vineyard and you qualified. So that's how you got in. Tell us about your experience. Let's get to Boston. How did you get there? Did you drive, take the train? Where'd you stay? Let's get into the expo. Fill us in.
I don't even know how to follow Jared and Maurice, to be honest. I drove with my sister on Friday night. So I stayed from Friday to Tuesday. And I think I told you guys a little bit about this, but it was kind of a big Italian feast celebration, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. I stayed with my cousins. My cousin who ran with me was running for Brookline Library Foundation for charity. So it was kind of just, we were chilling from like Friday, Sunday, Saturday. We went to the expo. I saw Erica. It was amazing. We saw her name on the 6-star finisher wall. That was a very, very cool moment for me. And I hope you, Erica. It was really fun. We did a little photo shoot.
I had a blast.
I had a blast too. But yeah, it was a super chill weekend. I had a lot of nerves going into Monday because of the weather. But yeah, it was just good vibes. Kept the good vibes going.
Did you see anyone cool or anybody you wanted to see on Saturday at the expo? Did you go do any shakeout runs or did you sit down in any of the panels?
You know, what's funny. I didn't even have a chance to sit at the panels, but I did go to, I did a shakeout with my cousin, just like us two along the river. And then I went to the backline running shakeout, but I think that was Sunday. That was definitely Sunday. And I also like missed half of it. Like I just did not plan well, as you guys know. But I always wear their socks. So I was like, well, I have to go at least hang out with my crew. So I did that. Yeah, I think those were the only two I did. I did run into Des Linden on Tuesday.
Wow. Not a big deal.
Which was, it was crazy. I was like looking at my phone and my cousin like did one of those things where she's like, Al, like look alive. It's Des. And she was like, great job yesterday. And she's like, all right, yeah, cool, thanks. like super, super chill. But yeah, and then I think she was the only one I saw, to be honest, other than Erica, who's a star in my eyes. So
I am no Des Linden, though. Let me tell you that.
Six star
Erica.
I have to change my name now. I was going to say six star at the end, at the bottom now. Gotta do it.
You gotta do it. Just like pee pee poo poo doo doo.
I am no Aaron Azar either, so she owned that one.
So real quick off topic, speaking of pee pee poo poo doo doo, Aaron Azar, if none of you don't know, that's her name here in Riverside. And she did another podcast like with some like doctors or something, like someone professional. And she's like, oh, wait, I should change this because this is like a legit professional podcast. They're going to be like pee pee poo poo doo doo. Well, I'm so glad you got to meet, you and Erica both got to meet. It sounded like not to make anyone jealous. But I think you were the one Erica really wanted to meet of everybody outside of maybe Catherine.
I was very excited. But Allie, I was like, oh, my God, are you going to be where you said you're going to be? Because I'm like, it's taking forever to get in.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to hold you up.
I was like, I'm staying put.
I was the nervous one.
Erica's like, I don't want to hold you up. And I'm like, Erica, my feet are not moving until you get here.
But I was looking out for the whole pod family. We were in the city. I mean, I wish I would have bumped into Jared and you, Mo, and I wish. But at least I got to see you in a big poster, and I did get to see Candace, and she was telling me that she saw you, so I got to see you, Jared, by association, kind of. And
there you go.
Yeah, it was a good weekend.
So speaking of Jared and Candace, and I want to go back maybe a little bit, but you have like a brand new best friend that I feel like we made the connection. You and Candace have been talking and hanging out. If I remember correctly, because I was on the phone with her just the other day, you two met at the airport on your way to Tokyo.
Wow.
Yes.
And then you got together in Tokyo and you've met up since then. And then at Boston too. And I see you in pictures. And I think it's so cool to see our pod fam doing get togethers. And yes, next year I will figure it out. I'll have time to plan it. We'll do a on the runs get together. It might be small. Maybe it'll be huge, but we'll do something. We'll plan it around everything else. But you drove into New Hampshire. You went to Boston. You ran into Candace and everybody. Tell us about your expo weekend before the race.
Yeah, so I had just an amazing weekend and just race in general. It was such a magical weekend, very electric, just in the air, regardless of the bipolar weather. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the expo was great. So I got there Friday, nice and early. I was thinking about waiting till Saturday, but I went in on Friday. I wanted to go ahead and get my bib, get my in the support bib and things like that. And I didn't really want to plan. I didn't plan on staying around there long on Friday because Saturday, Jordan, you know, my support runner was going to be coming in. And I was going to go back with her Saturday for all the official pictures. You know how there's all these different places you have to get pictures at. Well, usually when I go by myself, I'm very bad about getting pictures, but I know having someone with me, I will stop and get them. So I was like, I'll wait for her. But Friday, I went and got my bib, and I I was chatting with Mary McManus, who was also on the pod. And me and her have been talking back and forth. We made the connection through you guys as well. And she was at the live stage, her and her daughter and her husband, and I was able to meet up with them. And in the meantime, Candace was walking around the expo as well, and we had already been chatting about meeting up. She wanted me to introduce me to Rage Day Rangers.
Race Day Rangers.
Yeah, Race Day Rangers. So I met up with Candace, and then I we kind of went over to the stage and met up with Mary and her daughter, Ruthann. And it was just a great time kind of to meeting these people in person, you know. So, you know, after listening to everyone's stories on the podcast, it's just amazing. Like Mo said, you know, everybody's got great stories. And I'm the type of person, you know, it doesn't take much for me to really call you fam, my fam in general. Or, you know, if you're my friend, family, we have some sort of connection. We're fam. So, and it's great, you know, with me, with all these traveling to these marathons and stuff, it just, the more people I connect with, kind of the more places I know somebody or I know I have family at. Right. So, but yeah, so that was good. Friday, I did a shakeout run later after that. So after I left the expo, I had a shakeout run that was with New Balance at Sola's. And, one of the, there's Featherstone Nutrition. Not sure if you know her.
Heard of it.
Her name's Megan. Yes. But
is that Believe in the Run?
Yes.
The Believe in the Run crew. Yeah.
Yeah.
I followed their story. Yeah.
So Featherstone Nutrition, she's actually from Kent, right? Super close to me. So I got a hold of her in Tokyo. Was like, hey, it's, you know, it's great having local runners doing these big runs. You know, good luck and all this. So I met her in person. And yeah, I had a good conversation with her, but we had a, you know, a little 5K shakeout run that day. And then on Saturday, I went to another shakeout run. So I went out shakeout run every day. Yep. So I mean, this is just amazing for me. I had friends to run with literally every day, you know, lots of friends. So Saturday I went to this place called Roan. It's like a golf shop. I met up with this guy named Ken Rideout. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No way.
Yeah, but he's someone I just finally caught on to as like a couple weeks ago. So it's kind of amazing how it worked out. And then just that dude's story is incredible. He, you know, 52 years old. He's a world marathon champion. And so his story really gets me amped up and pumped up. So I listened to him on like four or five different podcasts. And so to have a chance to meet him, and what was the best part of it was a very small group. There was only like three of us that showed up. So it's him and his buddy and three of us. So you really got an interaction, you know. I didn't have to fight, you know, elbow anybody out the way and say, listen up to my story, you know. So, but he's a really good guy, really great guy. And yeah, I just love chatting with him, and his buddy Todd Anderson was there too. So another guy that I know and follow. So Saturday was a good day. Jordan came down. We went to the expo and got a bunch of pictures there, got all the official pictures. Mm-hmm. And walked around. I introduced her to Candace, and we met Jennifer. And so we had a good time, had some dinner. And then later on, when we were walking back, I ended up meeting up with, I forget the lady's name, but she was also on the podcast a couple episodes after me, the running podcast lady.
Letty.
Yes. So
you
I actually,
Letty?
So I saw Letty and who she was with, in this, taking a picture of that big old unicorn, the yellow unicorn.
Yeah.
And so I saw her in there and I was like, I got to go sit. Me and Ken, I was with Candace too. We were like, we got to go see her. I was like, dude, she's another, you know, podcast alum. So we got to go in there. So then we go in there and it was just like kind of surprise her. And we're like, hey, you were on the runs. And she's like, yeah. And then she was like, who are you? And I was like, well, I was on too at episode 88. And I was like, I got this leg story. And she's like, you have to come on. And then Candace was like, yeah, it's episode blah, blah, blah. And this and that. She's like, oh, you have to come on. So it was just great. And so we chatted up with her for a while. And yeah, I got some good pictures with her and her friend Marty. And so again, it was just like all these interactions, just meeting all these people. And then Sunday, I had another shakeout run. I went over to Newberry and ran at A6. There was a lot of local guys, local people from Akron that was there that I know from run clubs here. They were all running there. So I was able to meet up with them. And yeah, after that, pretty much Sunday was low key day, had that shakeout run. And later on, I went and had dinner with my actual tour operator that I went to Berlin with and went to Tokyo with, Fitness International Travel. So shout out to Kelly who runs that. If anybody wants to go with a fitness operator, or with a tour operator to one of these international marathons, Fitness International Travel, that's the one to go do. Shout out to Kelly. But she, I got an invite from her. Because she was holding a Boston, dinner. So we went to that dinner and it was a good time. Had a nice early big pasta dinner, went to sleep, and kind of the rest is history. So that's kind of how the expo weekend went. Lots of running and just meeting all sorts of, seeing all bunch of really good people.
That makes me so happy. Just everybody meeting up and that's what we want. That's what we want, to bring the community together.
Me too, man. I'm so jealous. Like, oh my God, the FOMO is back. You met Letty.
Tried.
Like, I'm happy I got to see every one of you at mile 19. We'll get to mile 19 in a little bit. The only person we missed, I think we missed two. One of the two was Letty, because like everyone was running so close to each other and she didn't really know where we were. So unlike you, Allie, because we would have missed you, Allie, if you didn't know where we were.
The way that I approached you guys was ridiculous.
That was my favorite thing of like the whole time. Here I am. Sorry.
I'm bummed about not seeing Letty, not meeting Letty. We talked about meeting up, just like I did with everybody. And at one point, I just had to say, I'm not even going to be there all weekend. I'm so mad. So bummed. Letty and I have been talking since. Hopefully, you might see something soon between us and her. So that would be a lot of fun. I'm so excited. Like when you guys see, though, another friend of the pod, a past alum, as you call it, that you go say hi. I think that's so cool.
Absolutely.
So much love for this. It's not even funny. I get FOMO, like you guys get to interact with them more than I do. And I'm like, oh, come on. I want to go.
Maurice, because you have that updated fruit phone, you need to do the
Does it work?
Do the symbols for us every time. Yes, because then the hearts will pop up. See, there it is. Every time we're like, oh, we love that. We need the hearts from Maurice.
That's so funny.
I usually can't get that one to work, and it just worked on the first attempt. Perfect. So that was good.
Maurice, how was your weekend? Tell us about it. You're kind of local. Like, do you stay in Rhode Island and travel back and forth? Are you going to the city for the weekend? What do you do?
So I've stayed in Boston for one Boston Marathon. I got the hotel. I felt like a VIP. That was several years back. This year, due to work, my work is so flexible. Shout out Kia of Attleboro. They continue to have my back with sponsorship, with my charity team and so forth. So shout out to them. But I had to be at work Friday and Saturday. Went to the expo Sunday. Had a ton of fun. I can't believe you got to meet Ken Rideout, Jared. That's absolutely awesome. I look up to that gentleman as well. He's just immensely inspiring and wins marathons and just has an awesome attitude that fires me up. I love your attitude about being able to share the love of the community and being so present for all of those shakeout runs. So the expo was fun for me. The expo was a lot of fun for me. I did all the, like the photos and the selfies and grabbed my bib and just, I didn't get to meet anybody noteworthy. I have a cool Molly Seidel story from 2 years ago where I bumped into her outside of the Ritz-Carlton and I asked her for a selfie and she was really, really cool about it.
I love her.
And I look up to her so much because of her attitude and her humbleness and what she's done for the sport, what she's done for women in sport and what she's done for the marathon. So two thumbs up for Molly Seidel. And then right after I bumped into her, I bumped into Meb and Dina Castor and I didn't know it was Dina and the gentleman told me that he said, I'll take your picture because I knew it was Meb. I was so excited to meet him. And he goes, you know, there's another Olympian standing right here too. Right. And he goes, this is Dina. And I had already followed her on Insta. So I thought it was so cool. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know who you are. And da, 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 da. And they were so genuine and sincere about asking me about my Boston Marathon. I just thought it was amazing that they were that present and that they actually, like, they cared. They asked me how my race went, how my fundraising went. I thought that was so cool. But to fast forward to 2024, I'm trying to be like Erica Sixstar over here. So she has 100 on the calendar. I have 100 on the calendar. So I'm in the middle of training. So I did 6 miles. I think I did 4 or 5 miles solo on Saturday. I did 6 miles on Sunday solo early in the morning. So before I went to the expo, and then Monday was obviously the marathon. I can't say enough exciting things. Oh, so I took the commuter rail, Eric, to answer your question more directly. So this year I did not stay in Boston. I've driven back and forth before, but the parking garages were all booked. I have a place in Back Bay that I like to park, but just I was getting nervous because I didn't reserve a spot. So I just decided to take the commuter rail. It worked out wonderfully. I got there super early. I literally walked from North Station to the Boston Common, and I could see the buses that take you to Hopkinton. I could see the buses driving to the Boston Common, and I was walking faster than them because they were stuck in traffic. So I knew I had plenty of time. I got there. I had the suit. And it was just it's just so fun to be. I always go back to the Athletes Village in 2018 when we had the worst weather on record and people looked a little down and I was literally running around cheering people up because that day is so special. Like I'm just a guy that loves to do this stuff. I'm a slow back of the pack runner and I'm a guy that loves to do this stuff. So to be included in a community where on race day, you're lining up after the elites, after the sub elites, after everybody has a story and everybody's chasing a goal, whether it's 6 hour, 5 hour, 4 hour, 3 hour, sub 2:30. I mean, you're lining up with these amazing individuals. So Athletes Village is just one of my favorite times of the actual marathon morning. That's where Candace and I met up. I think it's so cool, Jared, that you got to meet Candace. She's one of my besties. And so shout out to Candace. And we met in Athletes Village a couple of years ago before the race. And then this year, one of my very good friends, Aura, this was her first Boston, and she's done dozens of marathons and ultras, and I think like 230 half marathons is what she's known for. So she waited for me at the corral so we could do like the selfie and the hype video and all that stuff. And then my charity director, Pam, shout out to her. This was her 15th Boston.
We love Pam over here. We're big fans.
So shout out to her. We got to see each other at the starting corral. And Lori and I, our plan was to see each other in Hopkinton. That did not happen. But if we get a chance to talk about it, I'll love to talk about it after. We met at mile 16 and that the rest of it is history. We ran the rest of the race together.
I hope we do talk about it because you guys looked like you had been running the entire race together. So I do want to hear about that later.
Maurice, go back and tell us why you run in the purple suit.
So it's I formerly ran with Rett, Team Rett, which Rett syndrome, for people that don't know, is a rare neurological disorder. It's a great charity. It's a fantastic cause. Lori, my run coach, introduced me to that community several years back and asked me if I would be interested in running for them. And I immediately said yes, because I don't want to take up too much time. So I was running for Rett. Their color is purple. And it just became like a buzz thing between Lori and I. We were like, we should do something cool. Like, how about Panda runs in a purple suit? And I was like, that's a great idea. And I just want to tell this story very quickly, if I can, because I'm very long-winded sometimes. So thanks. I was in a barbershop one day. I was reading a GQ magazine, and there was this article that said you could run a marathon in this suit if you had to. So I was immediately drawn to it because I love fashion and I love running marathons. So I read the article. So when Lori threw out this idea that I should run the marathon in a suit, I immediately thought of this company that made this suit that was athleisure, I think is the correct word. So I Googled it. I found it. They had this suit online that was supposed to be lavender. I ordered the suit. I emailed them. They were super cool. Ministry of Supply. They're out of Boston. They said they would give me a 30% refund if I tagged them on social media and all that stuff. So it was a really great experience. The suit was awesome. It was so comfortable. Big miss. It was not lavender. It was gray. So it wasn't purple. Oh. So in 2021, I ran the Boston Marathon in a suit, but it wasn't purple. So it was fun. It attracted a bunch of attention for the charity and everything, but it wasn't purple. So it was kind of a miss in my book. So next year, I did a quick Google search. I just got the first purple suit that I could find off of Amazon. It came in on time, ran the Boston Marathon in it for Team Rett, purple suit. Fast forward to 2024, I'm selected for Team Heron Project. Guess what color they are? Purple. So I had no choice but to keep the tradition going and run the marathon in a purple suit. So it worked out well. I have to invest in a better quality material than polyester because
oh my gosh, this year was brutal with the sun, so I can imagine how much you baked in that thing.
I love the heat, but it was a very, very hot day and it became wet and heavy after like mile three. I was like, oh, this is gonna be a long day.
Oh man.
Well, let's get into that day. And Maurice, I am going to lead off with you here because you have a quote, and I'm stealing this from our friend Lindsay's Instagram post. And you were around race day morning in Hopkinton telling people, we get to do this. None of us have to do it, but we get to do it. And not everyone can say that. You have this way of spreading positivity and getting everyone in the right mood. Tell us about that. Tell us about your race day morning and what you're doing pumping everybody up and getting the positivity going.
So Lindsay was already in a great mood. She was. And I think she was lifting up some of her team. She was lifting up some of her teammates that seemed to be. And it's race morning. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be nervous. But at the end of the day, we are so freaking lucky to be able to do this. We are the lucky ones that people look at and not only run marathons, but run the Boston Marathon. It is the most, in my opinion, the most iconic of the world majors. I've never done anything internationally. I would love to, but Boston is the most iconic. It's such a special day where the whole city is shut down for us. And that's my attitude when I run a local half marathon, when I run a local marathon. We get to do this. You're right. We don't have to do it. We choose to do it. But not only do we choose to do it, we're the lucky ones that are able-minded, able-bodied. You know, we have the physical, emotional strength to do this stuff. So we have to be grateful and we have to be a light of gratitude for those around us to remind them like, hey, this is what we're here for. This is what we came to do. We get to do this. Let's be pumped up and let's get to it.
All right. So Allie, you got to do this. Tell us about your Marathon Monday experience.
My experience was really, really awesome. I met these two people at the start. Oh no, not even at the start. I met them on the bus. They're married. They have kids. All their kids do track and neither of them had their phones. So we started our obviously newfound friendship over them asking me for a photo. And I was like texting it to them and they just wanted photos everywhere. It was like the cutest thing ever. I was fully obsessed with them. They're great people. But we were talking the whole time on the bus. And of course, you know, anxiety's high. I was freaking out a little bit. It was getting hotter. And the wife was in like a later corral, but somehow finessed her way on the bus. Not trying to call her out, just saying she was a great part of the pack. It was amazing. I'm so glad she was there. Her husband was in like a wave after me, but same, I don't know, maybe like 5 minutes later. I'm not really sure how it works, but so we didn't start together, but we walked to the start and everything. We took all the pictures at the Hopkinton sign all together. It was crazy. It was kind of like I was their child for an hour. And they were like taking care of me because I was freaking out. But we walked to the start line together and eventually at like, I want to say right before Wellesley, like the half-ish point, he caught up to me and was like, hey, Allie, do you mind if I pace with you for a little bit? And I was like, no, let's do it. Totally. He's like, we don't have to talk or anything. And I was like, okay, cool. Cause I'm not taking off my headphones. Like they were my saving grace, at that point. But yeah, we shared a few miles together and then eventually like we ended up missing each other at some point at a water station. But yeah, and then it was just a party after I saw you guys. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm not kidding you. As it got hotter and hotter, like it was, my body was just like, girl, you need something that you're not getting from the water, from the gels. And it was kind of like fight or flight. And I was like, just make it to mile 19. Like you'll be fine once you make it to 19. Cause I knew you guys were going to be there. And then after you guys, it was my family. And then it was like Boston College. And I knew a bunch of friends were going to be there. So I kind of flipped from like, totally anxious at the start, trying to curb the speed a little bit, which I did really well in. And the first half was great. And then as it got hotter and I was just like, this is not sustainable for this long. So I just flipped my attitude and I was like, all right, we're having a party here today. So it kind of turned into a little victory lap for me, which was really nice. And just immediately all the pressure after that.
Good. I love the victory lap attitude. Isn't it the best? Like,
I know. I was like high fiving people. I'm stopping. I'm giving hugs. I've never done that before in my life.
Good.
And you know, I just have like a newfound respect for myself as an athlete after that. So I was happy with it.
Good. I'm glad you were able to.
We'll get to mile.
I'm glad you were able to kind of just throw it away because, you know, you never know what race day is going to throw at you. So you have to be able to pivot really fast. And just as long as you enjoyed yourself, that's all that mattered.
Right. I know. And to your point, Maurice, it's kind of like we're so lucky and we're so grateful to be there and we choose to do it. And there are people that can't. So you're kind of running for them and you're running for the people that don't have the opportunity that we do. But it's just crazy how your perspective changes when you cross the start line in Hopkinton. It truly. And I didn't believe it until I got there. So
So Jared, tell me about your morning. I know your morning might have had a little bit of a hiccup. You woke up, you got ready, you got rolling, you got out the door, and then you had to turn around?
Yeah, so, you know, wake up, just a normal, regular marathon morning, just asking myself why I'm doing this again. But that's to say, yeah, so we had to be at the buses because I was with the adaptive athletes and the para athletes. So I got to ride a nice coach bus with them. But the kicker was you had to be there at 5:30 in the morning. Ooh. So an hour before everyone else, but well worth it. Well worth being, you know, well worth it more so than riding those cool buses. But so the buses were at the Sheraton. It was about a mile away from where I was staying at. So you know, it's like 5:15 in the morning. We're walking and we get almost to the buses. So we're about, you know, almost a mile away from the hotel I was at. And I realized my wrist felt kind of light. And I'm like, it feels real airy. Like, what's going on here? And I looked down and I realized I don't have my watch. And so I was like, oh no. And so then I'm thinking, what do I do? Like, well, I can take my phone. But I was like, in true runner fashion, I mean, you got to have your watch. Mm-hmm. It's a must. You got to have your watch and you got to do what you got to do to get it. So I talked to Jordan. She's like, just go back and get it. And just, you're going to have to hurry your butt to get back here. So I was like, okay. Mind you, I wasn't wearing my running shoes. I was wearing UFO's sandals. Oh, I was wearing UFO's sandals.
Shout out to UFO's.
So I immediately just turn around and I send it. I mean, I ran about a mile all the way back to the hotel. Everybody's looking at me like I'm kind of crazy, like I'm probably like an elite trying to get, you know, my morning miles in, but I was not. And so I get all the way back up to the hotel. I run up there to my room, get my watch, get back down, and I run almost a mile all the way back. So by that time, you know, I've got like 2.5 miles in, and I'm like, looks like I'm doing an ultra today, you know? So, but those sandals felt really good. I was like, I could probably run a marathon in those sandals legitimately. Like, those were comfy. And there was no one on the streets, so I just booked it all the way down the streets. Again, yeah, people were looking at me crazy, but hey, you got to do what you got to do to get the watch. Yep, you know, yep. It's all about the watch game. So we make it onto the bus. We're going there. And so this little story will go like with the podcast name. So I just knew all morning, you know, you got to do what you got. You got to go poop in the morning. So that's my thing. I got to go in the morning before the start line. I didn't go yet. So I'm like freaking out on the bus. I'm like, what am I going to do? I was like, well, I guess I'll just go at the Port-a-John and I hope it comes then. So I'm on the bus. We get to Hopkinton. Of course, all the buses are like in a bus jam. Well, of course it kicks in. That's when I need to go, right? That's when I need to go. And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of fighting urge, you know, because, you know, you got anxiety going on. I have some coffee in me and none of that helped. So I'm like, we just got to get to the tent. And the bus isn't moving. So I was like, I turn around, see the bathroom back there. And I was like, well, this will be another story for the grandkids. This will be another story. It's going to be a memorable one. So I go back there, you know, I shut the door, I sit down, I'm doing my thing, and of course the buses start back up and start moving. So now the bus, when it starts up, it's like shaking. So there I am, I got my hands out, and I'm shaking. So at this point, I'm just trying to pinch it off, wipe, and get out of there without nothing going on. And of course, you know, those coach buses, seats are tiny. I'm a big guy, so I barely fit in there. And it seems like they're only like an inch deep. So now I'm worried about it, like touching me and stuff. And so again, we're bouncing around. And so finally, I pinch it off, I wipe, and I get out of there. And literally the whole bus is like, you know, like laughing at me and all everything. I'm like, well, again, like I said, I was like, well, it's a story for the grandkids. I feel a little bit lighter. We're good to go. So yeah, that was a solid little story there. But we get over to the tents, and so I was blessed enough to be in an adaptive para athlete tent, and we were right next to elites, all next to elites in their tent, which I didn't know until like start. So I'll have to know that for like next year or a further year. But that tent was like amazing. It was super close to the start, so you didn't have to do the walk. They literally just walk you right around the fence right there, and they put us in the back of wave one. So we didn't have to worry about people rushing, you know, running past us for a long time. So it was awesome. And just being in that tent was so humbling, because I still get imposter syndrome, being that I wasn't born with a disability, but now I do. And, you know, being that, you know, I can run pretty fast, I'm pretty active, you know, I get imposter syndrome a lot. I really do. And so being amongst all these other adaptive athletes and para athletes, it was a very humbling experience. Just made me more grateful, more thankful, and just really kind of narrowed me and zoned me back in. You know, it took all the anxiety away. I started chatting with people because I love hearing their stories, you know, and so it was like just, it was such a blessing to kind of be there with them. And again, you know, a lot of times I run because I don't know how much longer I'll have this leg, if, you know, who knows. And again, you know, almost died. And I just know it's a blessing every day to walk up, to wake up. It's a blessing every day to run. And there's people that don't wake up, and there's people that can't run. And that is just like Ali said, and like and Mo talked about too, it's that exact thing, you know, I got to run. So meeting all them and hearing them stories, now it just pumped me up. It zoned me in, because now like I'm running, I want to run for them, because now that's my community. Like that is my community now. And it's my family. So hearing their stories, I was like, all right, you know, hard charging. And I was like, let's go out there and get after it. And yeah, just again, it was kind of cool starting right behind, you know, the wave right there in wave one. And it was kind of, you know, it was amazing. I had a really good, it was a good run. It was a great day. And it was cool. Like it was like waves. They call them waves. And so when you're running, there was like 3-4 miles where there was nobody around us. So it was cool. It was just us and like the para athletes, adaptive athletes, but we're all spaced out because we're all different paces. And then all of a sudden, like mile 6 or 7, this wave, the wave of like wave two comes, and everybody's running around you, running by you. And it was just like such a cool feeling. I can't explain it, but usually, you know, you're fighting in between people to get through those first couple miles, but it was kind of cool just taking my time, running my race and letting everybody else kind of, wave two came and then wave three came. I kept on telling myself, well, we're not going to let wave two pass. we're not going to let wave three pass us, and just kept on doing that. But yeah, I had a really blessed morning. It was a great run, and I was very happy to see you guys at mile 19. I totally forgot you were going to even be out there. You know, and so when you got a hold of me, I was like, whoa, you know, I was so excited. And then, yeah, so thank you for being out there. I was so pumped to see you guys. Perfect time.
It was our pleasure. Trust me. Yeah.
Let's go to mile 19 right now. Let's go to it. Hold on here. You ready?
He's amazing. You should hear his story.
Which one is he?
Jared.
So I don't know if you could hear it, but I was in the background there saying, he's amazing. He's amazing. You have to hear his story. And my brother was there. So my brother flew in from California for other reasons. And he's like, I'm going to go to the marathon. So he says like, oh, I support the pod and everything, but he doesn't listen. And one of our friends there was like, talking about the pod, and Alex was like, oh, you should get this guy or that guy. And it's like, we did. And she goes, I don't think you listen to your brother's podcast. So we were talking to him about a few people who've been on the pod. And when you came by, I was like, you need to listen to his. He's amazing. His story is amazing. And that was me telling my brother how amazing you are. But you came by us at mile 19. It looked like you knew you were what you were going to expect, that we were there, because you were on the correct good, side of the road. Good. You gave us the lineup of high fives. That was a lot of fun, man. You look good too.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, it was, you know, I faked it till I made it. You know, you guys were, like I said, I kind of forgot, but the blessing of that whole run was there were so many people that said that they were going to be there and cheer for me and support me. And typically, in a one like that big, I usually either get in a zone or miss somebody. And I saw everybody. I mean, I saw everybody, man. It was such an awesome day. But yeah, seeing you guys, that was fantastic. And yeah, you kind of surprised me, but you know, I had enough space, so I ran over, and I was trying to get a sub-4 going, because there was two major goals there. There was trying to get my friend Jordan to a PR, which was anything better than a 4:11. And then, of course, with me trying to run the 50 states, I'm also side quest trying to run them all in a sub-4. So my backup goal is always sub-4. And so I was kind of pushing that, and it was kind of close at that time. The hills were kind of hitting us and kind of bogging us down. And so I knew that it was going to be kind of close, but I saw you guys and I was like, I'm running over there and I'm at least saying hi to them. And yeah, again, it was a very pleasant surprise and, you know, perfect timing. It was right before the, you know, Heartbreak Hill and all of that. But yeah, I would have, if I really was in some sort of hurry, I would have took a picture with you guys. But
well, we got the video, yeah, just, so you're also, all
we
good.
Got, you know, yeah, it was a good time, man. Cute. You guys had that big old banner.
Clutch, I think. I think it was clutch because a few people would run by and they'd hear their name. And they'd be like, oh, hey, thank you. Oh, it's you. It's the big right. ass on the run sign on the gate there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I was like, who's yelling my name? Like, come on. Who, what a coincidence. Like, oh, on the runs. All right. Those are my people there. Let's go. Oh,
I'm so happy we did see you. Like I said, we saw like of the 30 some people, I think we only missed two people. So that was pretty great. Erica was on it with her, the app, and she'd be like, okay.
It was still working at that point with Jared before it started to drop people, which was weird, but I'm glad we got to see you.
So speaking of the app not working, one person that dropped off the app was our friend Lori. So Maurice, why don't you get into the start of your day and how you met up with Lori on the course and bring us up to mile 19.
Oh, so the start of my day was awesome. We already touched on on Athletes Village. I had a goal, a time goal, obviously. My course record at Boston is 4:13, even in the suit. So going into this, I wanted to beat 4:13. So I'd like to touch on that. I started off pretty conservative, was feeling great. I got hot and sweaty in the suit early on, but stayed conservative. Tons of water, tons of hydration, popsicles. However, the hype and the excitement got the best of me. And I'm going to give you the quote of the day before I get to Lori. The quote of the day was a woman at like mile 22. And she said, "What's the matter, purple suit man?" She said, "You're not skipping and jumping like you were at mile 10. Because I was trotting along and it was a slow trot. And I said, "You got me." You know, I couldn't, you got me. Because I was not skipping and jumping at mile 22. Mm-hmm. Like I was at mile 10, but I stopped for every high five, every selfie, every hype video, just like Jared said, to have friends and family out there on race day is just incredible. So to have people yelling your name and to be able to see them, I'm going to stop for the hug. I'm going to stop for the selfie. I'm not going to win the thing. So that's my attitude. Stop and enjoy the moment. Enjoy the excitement. Pam said to me when we were at the corral, she goes, "I take this from your book, Maurice. You're always talking about being present and being grateful. We're here. Mm-hmm. Don't even worry about Tuesday because we're not at Tuesday yet. We're at Marathon Monday." And that just stuck with me for the whole race. I was like, it's Marathon Monday. Let's make the most of it. So the sub 4:13 goal kind of went out the window. After mile 13 or 14, I knew it might have been like a 4:40 day, and I would have been really happy with that. I got to mile 16. I was going to stop regardless because that's where Team Rhett, that's where their families are posted up, and I wanted to say hi to them because they've done so much for me. I ran four Bostons for Rhett syndrome, so I wanted to say hi to them. And who was it but the one and only my run coach, who I had not seen in person in a long time. We recently got reconnected via text message and phone calls and social media. And I have so much love and respect for her and her husband. And to see her in person, and she's a very private person when it comes to things. So she was a little down because she wasn't having the race that she had envisioned. Mm-hmm. And she even thought about, you know, maybe calling it. And she told me, I think she took herself off the tracker. So it wasn't a technical issue. I think she did that. So I don't want to talk too much about that because she is very private, but we looked at each other and we both had that attitude that we are not letting you go home without a unicorn. There was no thought of quit. There was no talk of quit. It was, we're going to do this together. And immediately we did the hug, we did the picture, the selfie. And we had that attitude that whether we're going to run, walk, jog, or crawl, we're getting to that finish line together no matter what. She was going after her 14th consecutive unicorn. Wow. So just hats off to her for the grit and the determination to get to that start line everybody's journey to that start line is special. I have the attitude of like, hey, look at me, look what I do. But guess what? We all get there. Allie qualified, Jared qualified. I mean, hats off to that, to all of the qualified runners. To, you know, Lori's a qualified runner as well. So to see her, hug her, and just share that moment with her, we literally ran, walked, and jogged together for the final 10 miles of the race. She let me stop for my friends. We stopped to see her awesome husband, Paul, a friend, Catherine, that I had never met in person, just a huge supporter on online of myself. And we're really actually close. We actually DM each other like on a daily mm-hmm. basis, Catherine. And she's a six-star finisher like yourself, Erica. Excellent. So it was so cool. And she's a supporter of Heron Project. So it was so cool to see her in person and give the big hug. And Lori and I literally held hands when we crossed the finish line, but there was no way we weren't stopping at mile 19. When I saw that banner, I was like, oh my gosh, look at the banner. And I think you got the video of it. And I ran across the street to see you folks.
I absolutely do.
I was so excited.
So before I play the video, Erica was very frustrated because the app seemed to not be working and people were disappearing. Now we determined it's probably just some people had themselves hidden and Lori was one of them. So we were like, what happened to Lori? We've never met Lori in person. She's a huge supporter of the podcast, right? So
yes,
we were bummed because we thought we're not going to see her. And if she is hidden, like we're not going to know when she's running by. And then, so we're tracking you, Maurice. And when we see you and we start yelling your name, all of a sudden, like there's this one other girl coming across the road to meet us.
Behind you. And I was like, I was so, so happy.
As we're yelling your name, Maurice, we totally just like forget about you and we're all about Lori. And here, I'm going to play the clip.
Yes, Maurice!
That's incredible. Look, there she goes.
Yes, Lori! Lori! Oh my God! Lori!
It's 6 months.
We crossed you on the tracker like
this. Oh my God.
We told it was like it's like Maurice.
That's
who?
Awesome. Love it.
That was a good description. That's exactly what happened.
Just let that be my ADD, where I see like squirrel, you know, like one thing in one ear out the other. I'm just like, what's going on? I was so distracted. And I was so excited to see both of you, and I had no idea I would see both of you. Oh my God.
Just so you know how big of a supporter Lori is of the podcast, one time part of my mandatory training was to make sure that I made it to on the episode. So that's how much she loves you guys.
We love her. I love her so much. So if you don't really see her running, but as she gets close up, she hugs us. She hugs Erica, then she hugs me. Her face comes across the camera, which I'm doing a terrible job of holding and getting like all the shots. She has the biggest smile right there. And I was just so happy to see that when I was creating all my reels and my edits over the weekend. And I was like, yes, look at that smile. Oh, you guys were so happy. And we were so thrilled to see you. And yeah, Maurice, I'm sorry that I totally like just was like, oh,
it's okay.
Maurice, who?
You guys were so nice to actually stop. You spent a good amount of time with us, so I was like, all right, you guys can go run your race now. Go.
Yeah, it's a good excuse to stop and rest.
Well, I'm glad we could be that for you, but I was like, I don't want to be the reason why. I know, I'm like, guys, exactly. Go do your thing.
I'm like, wait, this is a nice break.
Now, Allie, you told us about your start of the day, your bus ride. You were adopted by another family. You got the race going and you're like, I just got to get to mile 19 because you knew at mile 19, the party's going to start. So let's start from mile 19. Let's play your clip and then tell us about the rest of the way to the finish line. And so for more context, again, we were following the app. We missed a couple people because you were all so close. And we were so thankful that you knew to look for us because the way you popped in, Yuki the Unicorn was already hanging out with us, and you all of a sudden just showed up.
It's ridiculous.
So epic.
All right. So in the middle of our time with Yuki, and this little girl like taps her on the shoulder and is like, hi, princess, and gets a photo. We're talking to her. Erica gave her Coke. All of a sudden, Allie, you show up in the most epic way ever.
Princess! You did it! Yuki. Yuki.
Yuki.
Yuki.
Yuki. She loves your album.
Oh man! How you
high
doing?
Fives all around.
It's fucking brutal out here.
Yeah,
it's so hot.
Oh man!
Do you want your M&Ms?
Yuki, you're awesome.
Deb.
Go party, you guys!
Allie, you're killing it.
Not me dropping an F bomb at mile 19.
We heard that too. It's okay. The F bomb's allowed on the
run. Sorry. I'm sorry. In advance.
Don't be. I would have been dropping
all my colorful language that day.
You looked kind of like confused. Do I want to keep running or do I want to stop and hang out? And you kind of walked one way.
Stop so bad. Maurice gets me. He gets me.
I debated asking the question because I was like, I can't tell what she wants to do. And then I just go, how you doing? It's brutal.
I'm like, it's so hot. That was my only complaint. It was my only complaint the whole day was when I saw you guys because I just felt comfortable enough to say it. Everyone was thinking it. So if I had to be the one to say it, it was fine.
Good.
No, that was kind of when things like shifted for me, but in like such a positive way. It was such a fun race. I'm kind of proud that I was able to like stop. I don't know. It also takes me a minute as like a runner. Plus I had kind of a traumatic concussion brain injury situation. So like, I don't know if it's just a me thing, but when I'm running and I stop. So I think after that, I was just focused on like seeing my family, because I knew the hype of seeing you guys was over, and I got my seltzer, which quite literally got me to the next water station where I was like drinking everything in sight. And then that one got me to the next one. That's kind of how the vibe was for the last like 7 miles. But after that, it was just really, really fun. I was high-fiving everyone. I was giving everybody hugs. I was looking at signs. I was, you know, people are like, tap for a power up. Like, I never do that. And I was like, today's the day. We're just going to do it. Maybe it'll be my saving grace.
Yes.
And then Josh Vernon will correct me if I'm wrong on this. I cannot remember for the life of what mile him and Janine were at, but they also saved my life because they caught me like kind of shuffling at one of the water stations. And he's like, let's go. Like, keep going. I'm like, okay. If Vern says I got to keep going, I got to keep going. But it was somewhere in the maybe like 23, 24 situation. And then my family was like 2 miles from the finish. Yeah.
I know he was at.
And then I look over
the
and
they're
like
right, yeah.
two kids I went to college with. I'm like, this is crazy. Like it was just such a good vibe and everybody came out. Like to your point, Jared, like when you have friends and family out there, it just hits so different and you just have like a moment of like, wow, I'm so grateful for this. So it really was just a party. Like the last 10K was a party for me. So I enjoyed it.
Love to hear that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jared, how was your finish, man?
It was good. So I full sent it because I was close to that 4 hour mark and I knew it. And so I was running with my friend, and as soon as we kind of knew it, she was going to PR. I had a plan the entire time. I'm sticking with her. I'm going to stick with her. But I think she kind of knew I was close to the 4 hour mark, and which that wasn't the biggest deal. You know, God willing, I'll be back there and I will run it again. But so I was kind of like just back and forth, like I'm good. Like she's going to PR. That's all I really care about, you know, that and, you know, finishing and getting post race. But right, it's like you can't plan this any better. Like right at the bottom of Heartbreak Hill, she's like, I've got my PR. She's like, you just go. Do you think you can get sub 4? And I was like, I'm going to have to do some crazy work. I was like, but nothing's impossible. I know that. I know nothing's impossible. So I was like, it's worth a shot, I guess. And she was like, just go. I was like, are you sure? And she was like, yeah, just go. And I was like, one more time. Are you sure? Because, you know, I don't want to leave that one. And she's like, no, just go. I'll finish. I was like, all right.
Bye.
So I full sent. Starting at the bottom of Heartbreak Hill. And I sent it. I mean, I with full beast mode up that hill. And on the way down, I was like going way too fast. I was like, whoa, I need to kind of slow down or else I'm going to bonk out before I even get to the end here. And so I just kept running. I ran hard. And because again, I knew I was close to the sub four, and I ran my fastest 10K to this day ever. Wow. My fastest 10K was the last 10K of the Boston Marathon, starting with Heartbreak Hill.
Wow.
So it was, I saw Yuki on near the finish line. I think but mile like 23 or something. I said hi to her, and we got the famous selfie with her, because I kind of knew by that time, as long as I kept that pace I was running, I was going to do it. So I got a nice picture with her, said hi, and she was like, oh, just keep going, finish strong.
Did you connect the dots? Did you already know? Did she know about, like, you're both Pod alums?
Yeah. I've met her before when I was living in New Hampshire.
Yes.
So I ran with her a few times on some training runs and stuff like that, and saw her at some of the Millennium runs. So I knew her beforehand, and then talked to her after her episode. But I also, that's where I saw Mary McManus as well. So she saw me around not too far from when I saw Yuki. So went over, said hi, got a hug. And again, it was great seeing her. And then so I was like, hey, by that time, it was like mile 24. I was like, let's finish this strong, just 2 miles to go. That's like an Army PT test. I was like, I can run 2 miles and finish this thing off right. And so I went, and just, again, while being present the whole time, right? Like, so Hereford and Boylston, nothing like it. I tell a lot of people that's my favorite part of any marathon. Of all the marathons I've ever ran, that is my favorite moment in time is turning left on a Boylston, nothing like it. And so I just remember looking up that sign, taking good, just trying to take mental pictures of it, looking around and just looking down and seeing that finish line all the way down Boylston. And, the first time, last year when I ran it for the first time, it looked like it was just forever away. And it still did, but this time, having been just the next year, it was just, I enjoyed it more. I enjoyed it more looking side to side here and trying to get the crowd pumped up. So yeah, I finished strong. And I was also blessed enough to have this company come out. Their name is PolyNovo. They're the ones that had their synthetic material that saved my leg.
That's right.
I've met up with them, spoke at one of their conferences before. And they have a crew that's in the Boston area, and they happen to just be having a regional meeting. So there's people from all over the Northeast and the East Coast. They came into actual Southern New Hampshire, but they came down to Boston to see me finish. So they were somewhere on Boylston, and I heard them yelling my names and ringing the cowbells. So I kind of looked over, said hi, and I was able to talk to them once I got off the finish course and I got back to the tent. I kind of waited around there for the sport runner for Jordan to get there. Gave her a big old hug and heard that she PR'd. And so I was ecstatic that I got my sub four, that she PR'd. And then I was able to get a hold of that company. And there was like 20 of them that showed up. They are such just amazing people. They are always so gracious, and they showed up for me, and I can't thank them enough. And so I chatted with them for quite some time and got a good picture. And so that was pretty much the wrap up before I took that long walk back to the hotel. So it was good.
Nice work. We are so proud of you and to Jordan for getting her PR. Like that was a hard day to do anything really fast. So
yes.
Good for you guys for getting it done. And beast mode. Yeah, full send. I love it. I love it. All right, Maurice, we know that you got to meet up with Lori. So let's hear about the last 10 miles or so of your race.
So, yeah, it was just to touch on that again. She is a huge inspiration for me in so many ways. It was a reunion for us, an in-person reunion, because once again, we had only reconnected recently, actually right before my Daytona 100 race in December. She reached out to me. We immediately started texting and began the rekindled our run coach and athlete relationship, which is more like a friendship mentorship. I can't say enough good things about her and her husband and what they do for me, and like on like a mentor and friendship level. So to be able to be reconnected with her on Boston Marathon Day was just magical in itself. And we just kept looking at each other saying, You're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. You're not. That's the we. Those words. That was the spirit. And she would look at me and say, "You're not going to quit." And I would look at her and say, "You're not going to quit." And then she would say things like, "If you need to walk, it's okay. I'm not going to yell at you." And that really. And we did. We had to take some walk breaks, but they were short walk breaks, and we would start running again. And then she put up this funny reel of us where I was running by her and put my hand out to grab her hand, and she swatted it away. But that doesn't show the magic of, like, we were holding hands, we were laughing, we were smiling, and we were really just enjoying the moment. And she was, like, you know, joking about the fact that this is going to be the first time I have the chance to beat her in a marathon, so I better take advantage of it, because she said it's not going to happen again, and it's never happened before. So I liked it. It was just like a friendly, like, you're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. We got this together. And she was so mindful of, like, she knew where you were going to be. She knew where her students were going to be. She obviously knew where her husband, Paul, was going to be. He was with Catherine, the woman I mentioned earlier. So it was cool because she was like, okay, we get to stop. And that was my attitude. I was like, I love the fact that we get to stop. That's great. Yep. Like, are there more popsicles and freeze pops at this stop? Because those taste really good today. So every chance I had to, like, because a couple of my friends were like, Mo, are you stopping? I was like, yeah, I'm stopping. Let's get a selfie. So my marathon tradition helped me by, like, giving me mental and physical breaks. Like, I on purpose did that because I was having a rough final 10 miles. And I think it was because I did get wrapped up in the excitement in the first 15, 16 miles of just living it up. But I really, really, really appreciate what Jared said about being, and you were very vulnerable and open and transparent. And I can't appreciate that more about the imposter syndrome. It, with everything that goes into marathon training and showing up for race day, this year was the first year I'm, and just to, you know, be fully transparent, I'm dealing with some stuff right now as far as, like, I feel like I'm out of running shape, even though I'm doing all these crazy long distances, and I'm dealing with some weight gain that's never been an issue for me before. And that day when the second half of my race was not going the way I thought it was going to go, like, I thought I had a sub 4:13, like, no problem. With all of the running and training I've been doing, and, you know, I ran a strong Boston last year, a strong in my book. So I really appreciate what Jared said, because I felt that way the last few miles, the last half of Boston, and I had to remind myself it wasn't about the time. You can't be Mr. Positive and Mr. Grateful and saying that you're passing out positive vibes and gratitude vibes if you're not going to be grateful for the moment that you're actually in the Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. So I had to let that go. And it was, my finish was a 5:04. It was the second slowest marathon of my entire career. And I've had, that was my 42nd marathon finish. So there was a lot of that weighing heavy on me, that I was like, this is kind of stinging. But at the same time, I had so much fun. The only other time I finished a marathon that didn't have a 4 or a 3 in front of it was when I got sick in Providence one year and had to be sidelined for a long time. And I trotted in with, like, a 5:20 or something. Mm. I've never quit at the distance. Every marathon I've ever started, I finished. So that attitude also, along with Lori's attitude that we were not going to quit, helped me get to the finish. But I can't say enough that was the very first time that I actually had some real, real negative thoughts saying, you don't belong, you might not be in marathon shape. But I let my own positivity and gratitude just outweigh that. And I was like, this is freaking magical. You're here, you're stopping for the videos, you're doing the high fives, people are yelling your name. And you only got, like, 9 miles left to go get a freaking unicorn. So you better not quit, and you better stop crying. So that's what I did.
To your point, Maurice, I kind of had a same, almost at that exact moment, like after mile 19, it's just like, kind of be where your feet are and take in the experience. And I kind of just knew that, like, making that left on Boylston was going to be as magical as it was. And you just can't give up no matter what.
And none of us did. We all finished. We all got the unicorn.
Proud of you guys.
And they don't give they don't give those
as
things
hot
away.
As it was.
They don't give those things away. It was effing hot, right, Allie?
Oh my god. Yeah, it was effing hot, guys.
You guys
that was classic.
Or my sister, yeah, that was the line of the day for me. My sister handed me the finisher jacket. I was like, I love you, but I don't need a jacket
right now.
It's so hot. Right. I was like, I don't even want to look at that.
Allie, tell me about the photos you took after. You took some photos, and they're pretty epic. It looks like, was there like a Godfather photo in there or something? Shoot.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, thanks, guys. So Bandit Running does, and Jared, and I don't know if any of you guys know this, but Bandit Running does marathon portraits after, I want to say it's all the majors, but maybe not like Berlin and Tokyo. I think it might just be here, but yeah. And the guy who takes the photos has taken I think he took mine in New York and Chicago last year. So when I showed up to these, I'm like, you know the drill. You're going to have to teach me how to pose. Like, this is your forte. It's not mine. Like, I am the one in the photo, but I'm not, like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, what, I'm sitting in a chair. It's awkward. And he was like, all right, let's do one of just you and whatever. And then I was like, wait, but can my friends come in? Can my sister come in? He's like, yeah, of course. Like, there was nobody behind me in line. And he's like, let's do like a Godfather shot of like you sitting in the chair.
It
like,
totally translated that. Like, I got run so off cool. vibes. Like, look at this. Look at
so
that one right there.
I was so jealous.
Yeah. And he's like, give me your most serious face. And I was like, I don't know if I'm coming through on this, but that's the most serious that I could be. Cause I was just having a ball. I was having the best time. But if you didn't,
I'm
know,
obsessed
I do it.
With
so,
that.
Yeah, I'm absolutely getting that like framed. That's my friend Suki, who
poster
is
size.
An amazing runner. Yeah, poster size, blowing that picture up. That is, yep. It's my
do
sister
it.
And one of my best friends.
These photos are great, though.
Thank you. It that photo like might be my pride and joy of the entire weekend, to be honest. My Godfather shot. I just look ridiculous. I really do.
I want you to print it.
I need like a wallet size one that you autograph for me, Allie. So next time,
you guys do that. You both
instead of business
well
cards, yes. just give out those pictures.
Like,
yes. to
you. For that, you will receive that. So
I don't need my Tracksmith poster. There you go. Assigned one of those. That's gonna take the cake.
I'll prop it up right behind me. It'll be like forever in the back of my my studio.
Let me tell you, the three of you are amazing in so many different ways. Jared, you're so inspirational. Your story is amazing. Fun fact, you were the third most downloaded episode of all time on the On the Runs podcast.
Yes.
Wow.
And cool. It's a pretty big deal. It's a big jump from what the average is. And I was kind of like, wow, this really took. A lot of people really listened and shared it. It was awesome. Allie, you're a brand new friend of ours. We're so happy to have you part of our pod fam. It's just I still every day when I pick my daughter up, I got to turn all the other podcasts I listen to off, and we just play our blend, the Allie and Eric blend.
That's right.
I don't know if you noticed one or two Bluey songs that might have been added to our blend.
Oh my God.
But. Yeah, but I'm not going to lie. Like Bluey songs are pretty sick. So I'm down for it all the time.
We're going to talk a little more on the tros for another episode about a Bluey song, but everyone should go to their Spotify and just play Dance Mode by Bluey. And then
that's
Mo.
That's Stooley's song.
It's Stooley's song. Yeah, we'll get to that story later. But Mo, I feel like now I'm calling you Mo. I've never called you Mo until today. I just called you Maurice the Marathon Panda. Mo, you're so awesome. You pump our tires every week. You're always tagging us and like spreading the word of this podcast. This is the most fun little passion project of a hobby we have. We're sticking to it. Every one of you have like supported us one way or the other, and you're so awesome. And I'm so happy we were all able to kind of do this on a whim. On a random Sunday night, not really that random, but I was like, could we do it Sunday? Because I had no other time. I was so overbooked and overscheduled. Guys, you rock. Thank you so much for doing everything you do for me and Erica in this podcast.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
We're so proud of you and everything you guys accomplished. We are just, I love following where your journeys are going. And you know that you have two cheerleaders on your side always for all that you do. So just keep being you. We're just so proud. I love you guys so much.
So can I leak something? Because you said we were going to do a big meetup before next year's Boston, but I heard from a very, very reliable source that you might be on site for this year's Anchor Down again. And we might be doing some special pre-race episodes or something like that. So please include
me.
So
here's the deal.
I'll be there.
This is very new in the works, but I don't think I'm going to make the actual race, right? It's just hard with kids and weekend jobs and all that.
We might get Hype Man Dave, though. He offered.
Right. Okay.
But I was told about a week before the race or even like 4 or 5 days during the week, there'll be some trail cleanup. There'll be some get-togethers. Yes. There'll be some prep. And I'm like, if it's during the week, I can make that. And I can, yes, I will bring microphones and we can do a lot. So Jay, the race director, I haven't talked to him, but we would love to get him on the pod before that so we can also talk about ADU and put that out the week of. So yes, perfect. That is kind of, that's in the works, and I will be there either for that or the race, one or the other. I just can't make both, and I feel like I really kind of want to be there for that prep and meet everyone and talk, because when we're there for the race, I'm kind of like in Erica mode and I just see you go by, Maurice. I'm like, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? Good. Keep going. And if anyone else there I see, it's kind of like they're all in race mode. So it would be a lot of fun. You will be a part of it, man. And I hope to get Jay on. I really hope to get Jay on. Jay is super cool. He was on another podcast weeks ago, and I listened to it. It was great. You were on the same podcast, Mo, by the way. That was such an awesome episode
with you, Mo. Right? Culture.
Oh, thank you.
And the cool thing, Maurice, was this. You were on our podcast, and I felt like everything you talked about with him was different. You just have so much material, and the guy, Art, the host, he knew what to ask you because he kind of went through some addiction problems, too, in a much younger part of his life. So that was a great. I shared it with Erica right away. I go, you got to listen to this episode. Mm-hmm. So it was a great episode. You're awesome. So I think the best way to end this, not to put you on the spot, Maurice, but send us off with some positivity. Give us some of your positivity. Give everyone a little bit to hear. This is dropping Tuesday morning. Tell everyone so they can have a good week and get out there and go on a great run and have a great summer. Give us some positivity and some love. Sorry if I put you on the spot.
No, it's fine. Tuesday mornings are the best day to make better than yesterday. So that's my Tuesday saying. Happy Tuesday. Today's the best day to make better than yesterday. If you didn't like Monday, you have a fresh start today. And you have to be grateful for the grind all of the time, not just when the sun shines and the stars align. So no matter what life throws at you, I can't be a part-time positive panda. I can't be. It doesn't work that way. You have to be positive all the time. And it's for everybody out there going through something, it's just temporary. You're going to come out stronger on the other side. You're going to learn from it. So yeah, shout out to everybody that listened. Thank you all. Thanks for having me.
I don't know what else I can add to that wonderful statement that Mo just made, but you know that we love you, and don't forget to stretch.
Perfect. Hold on. No one hang up.
Oh, God. Yes! You guys, the confetti. Nice. I love it. That would be the one reason I would switch to an iPhone. Probably all the cool stuff.
Is that how you're doing that, Maurice? Is the iPhone?
Yeah.